Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the 45th video for the Old Testament Survey course. We're continuing to work our way through the 12 books of the Minor Prophets, and in this section, we'll survey the book of Micah. We'll start with some background issues. We're told that the author of this book is Micah, a prophet from the town of Moresheth. And we're told that Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, prophesying in the same general period, that is, the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And it's helpful to discuss the purpose of Micah by comparing his prophecy to Isaiah's. Micah was less concerned with political issues and the policies of Judah's kings and other leaders, and Micah was more concerned with social and spiritual issues of the common people. The ethics and lifestyle of the everyday person in Judah is important to God, and he addressed them through his prophet Micah. Now let's shift to the organization of Micah. The outline of this book has four distinct sections. The first is a message of judgment. Micah uses the typical covenant lawsuit format to call Judah to account for the social evils they are committing. Micah mourns for Judah and the coming judgment, and he rebukes false prophets who say everything will be all right without addressing their sin. And the second section is a message of hope. Micah proclaims that Jerusalem will be exalted as the place where the nations look for answers and deliverance. And he also promises a leader will come out of Bethlehem, the birthplace of David, who will lead the nations. And he proclaimed that Assyria will be defeated and judged. Then the third section is another message of judgment. This also is in the form of a covenant lawsuit. Micah details their guilt and their punishment. And then the final section is another message of hope. God's people will experience his judgment, but they will rise again, because there's no God like Israel's God. Now, let's look at the content of Micah by examining some key verses. First is chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets. This passage is a message of judgment. And notice how it's similar to what we've seen in Jeremiah. The people are rebuked for presuming on the Lord, even though they are acting contrary to his character. But God says they are wrong. They will be judged. Because God is holy, and he cares about his people's character more than their lip service. Next is chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This passage is from the message of hope that Israel will be exalted. God will send his word out from Jerusalem to impact the entire world. They will change their weapons into farming tools, and God will bring blessing, peace, and prosperity. And therefore, God will be shown to be greater than all the so-called gods of other nations. And then is chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. This passage predicts that a leader will come out of Bethlehem in a time of crisis. This ruler's origins are from ancient times, and he will shepherd by the Lord's strength, and his influence will reach the ends of the earth. And this passage is quoted in the New Testament with obvious reference to Jesus. And finally, is chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This passage confronts God's people with their sins. More specifically, he challenges their attempts to please the Lord with self-sufficient sacrifice. And he reminds them that he has already revealed what pleases him: justice and mercy and humble obedience. Now let's talk about the theological themes of Micah. The first theme is biblical justice. We've already seen this theme in Amos, and the same caution and definition apply in this book as well. God requires that his people act righteously to the people around them, and he holds them accountable when they do not. And that brings up a second theme, which is judgment. And I know you've already seen this in many of the historical and prophetic books, but it is a reality that God punishes disobedience and unfaithful people. And this is a large part of the message of Micah. And then the final theme is lawsuit. This is the specific prophetic form by which Micah announces Israel's guilt and God's judgment. He makes formal charges of breaking the covenant. He details the proof of their guilt, and he announces the specifics of the punishment. These are the main ideas that we see in the book of Micah. So now, let's review. First is the organization of Micah, and it is judgment and hope, and then judgment and hope. There are two cycles of judgment, each followed by hope. And now let's review the themes of Micah. They are biblical justice, judgment, and lawsuit. All right, that is our brief survey of the nature and content of the book of Micah. As usual, there's much more here to be explored in more depth as your time allows, and I encourage you to follow up with this and every other Old Testament book. But in the next section, we'll look at the book of Nahum. Until then, thanks for watching.